I would like to start this morning by congratulating our graduates, both our high school graduates and our college, our master's graduate there, and for their fine work that they did. When they were up here, I asked them a question on what are their plans. I might have said, where are you headed from here? Because that's what some people in our church have been telling me I got wrong in the headline of our sermon. The sermon title says, who are you headed? And everybody wanted to change it to where? Where are you headed? But I've been telling them, no, it is supposed to be who. For you see, reflecting upon what graduation is all about, it's important to know where you're headed, have some goals and dreams ahead, but I would contend that it might be even more important to know who you're following, wherever you might be headed. Now, I was thinking of the graduation, of the process of graduating, particularly for high schoolers, because then they move on to college or as Gabe is doing on the military, but we're at a point when you graduate, then you apply for something else. You apply for jobs, you apply to get into the service, you apply to get into college. And I remember a story I heard a long time ago about a young woman who was applying to college. She was a good student, but a very quiet student, and she was filling out a college application, and it said, are you a leader? And you were supposed to check the yes or no box. Well, the woman, this young woman, she's super conscientious and honest. She said, I'm really not a leader, so she checked no. And she went ahead and sent the application in anyway, but figured she wouldn't get in. But a month or so later, she got a letter from the college, and the letter said, I got to read what this letter said here. Dear applicant, a review of the application forms for our college reveals that our college will have 1,452 new leaders next year. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative they have at least one follower. To our graduates, maybe everyone here, I know you are all leaders, but I hope you will also be followers. Our sermon scripture passage this morning that John read tells us of one such follower leader or leader follower, a man by the name of Abram, who later got his name changed to Abraham, which might be more familiar to us, but it's the same person. And he was definitely a leader, a very successful rancher, farmer in the land of Ur, which is in the region of Iraq now. And he was, again, a very successful, highly respected in his community, probably people coming to him for sage advice. And then at the age of 75 years old, God comes to him and says, I want you to move. I want you to pack up everything, all your belongings, gather your extended family together, all your household, all your servants, and I want you to pack up and I'm going to send you to a new place. And except for that extended household thing, it's like going off to college, right? Pack everything up and go to some new place. But anyway, at 75 years old, where he was ready to settle down, maybe even retire in life, instead he is told by God he's got to pack everything up, travel 1,000 miles to a land he's never even heard of, let alone seen, and start again. Start again. One has to wonder what went through Abram's mind when he heard this. I mean, he had to be thinking, this is crazy. And yet he does just that. It reminded me a bit of a story that came out of my first church I served. A woman in this church, she and her husband, members of that church. Her husband was a very successful executive working for one of the railroads that operated out of Chicago. But her husband died much too early. In his early 60s, she was in her very late 50s when he died. But he left her a very big estate, so she was well off, had her home, had her friends, had her circle of activities, the charities he volunteered for. So her life went on as a widow. But something was unsettled with her. Something that she couldn't identify right away, but she just felt that things weren't quite right, that this life she was living was not quite enough. And she talked with the senior pastor about it, and they prayed about it, and then she decided that maybe there was something God wanted her to do. And so what do? When you want to find out what God wants you to do and you're a Presbyterian, you call the Presbyterian headquarters in Louisville. So that's what she did. And she asked them if perhaps they would have, would they be willing to take on a 60-year-old woman as a missionary? I don't know what she thought the response would be, but to her surprise, they said, actually, yes. And it turns out the Presbyterian Church in Morris Fork, Tennessee, up in the mountains of the Appalachian Mountains, was trying to help out the poor in that region by selling their crafts. They were very good craftspeople. But they needed to market their crafts. And they asked this woman if she would be willing to go and help the people of Morris Forks actually establish a business. Well, this woman did just that. She packed up all her stuff and moved to Morris Fork, and she dusted off her college business degree that she had never used because she had gotten married young. But she dusted it off and helped them develop a business plan, helped them learn how to market their products. She traveled around to help market their products and became for them a mentor and a blessing. And that's sort of what Abram was doing, wasn't he? Called by God to lift up and go somewhere, had no idea where he was going, not even sure what he was be doing, but following God nonetheless. You know, it's not just old folks, graduates, who hear the call of God and respond. When I lived back in Illinois, the Mississippi River flooded, like it's done this spring. And of course, there's a lot of damage, and people responded by forming work trips to go in and first to sandbag, and then after the waters receded, they went and began to repair the homes and farms that had been damaged by the flood. A group of college students did a lot of this, and a group of students from Western Illinois University got together and they formed a work trip, and they went, wasn't too far from Western Illinois, to Davenport, Iowa, right on the Mississippi River, and they started it. Spent their spring break working on the homes and the farm buildings that were damaged in the flood. And at the end of the week, they returned back to their dorm rooms and to their classes, very satisfied that they had done something to help others. All of them except one young woman. One young woman named Diana decided to stay. She decided to stay in Davenport and keep working, keep helping these families rebuild. She contacted the university and got permission to put her studies on hold and not lose any credit by leaving halfway through the semester. She was interviewed by the paper, the local paper in Davenport, and asked why she was doing this. And she said, well, I can go back to college whenever, but what I'm learning here is much more important. A leader who's also a follower. Who are you headed? I have to wonder if this passage doesn't just apply to our graduates, but to all of us. How are we as followers of Christ, and not just leaders, although we need to be both? When God calls us, we are called to change, to move, to risk. It's not an easy challenge, no matter what age that call comes about, whether it's 75 like Abram, or 60 like the widow from the Chicago suburbs, or 20 like Diana. But I will say, this call that comes from God is not an empty call. It is supported by the promises of God. Abram was given a fourfold promise in the scripture that John read this morning. First, that God would make Abram and his wife Sarah, who were childless at the age of 75, make them parents. And more than just parents, they would become the father and mother of a great nation. Second, God promised to make Abraham's name great, in contrast to all those who would try to do it by their own efforts. It was by following God that Abram's name, changed to Abraham, would be made great. And third, God declares to Abram that his descendants will have a land to call their own in this new place where they are going. And finally, and most important of all, God promises that through Abram and his descendants, God will bring blessings upon all the families of the earth. It is this last promise, is I think what God promises to all of us when we respond to his call, that when we reach out in God's name, whatever that call may be, whether that's just a kind hand for a neighbor, or a trip to Morris Fork, God tells us that by sharing God's love, we will be a blessing. We will be a blessing to other families. Certainly, the woman who went to Morris Fork was a blessing to all these craftspeople. Certainly, Diana, who stayed in Davenport, was a blessing to those families. When we reach out, following God's call, we become a blessing to families. Now, Abram didn't know where he was going, or even that he would be a blessing when he left the land of Ur to go to this new place God had called him. The woman who left suburban Tennessee and went, or suburban Chicago and went to Tennessee, she did not know if she would have the skills necessary or that she would be a blessing. Diana, who stayed, knew that she was a help, but maybe she wondered if she could ever fully understand how she was a blessing to those people in Davenport. But they went. They went following God's call. They didn't worry about where they were headed. They were worried about who they were following. Certainly, as our graduates go off to wherever they are headed, I invite them to remember who as well. And we'll be anxiously watching where you go and what wonderful things you do. And I suspect you, from time to time, will look back upon us, and I hope you will see that we, too, are following the who calls all of us. Amen.